Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we awake? There's a popular saying in my place. How Sunday will be, now Saturday we go know. Who understand that? I'm not speaking in tongues. I'm just talking what we call a pidgin English in Nigeria. I say it in English now. How the Sunday service will be, right from Saturday, you begin to feel it. And that's exactly what God has proved here this morning. How the service will be today started from the praise and worship team. I don't know if you sense what I sense. When they were singing, at a point, they divert into various languages. You may not hear your language. Never mind. Next time, it will be your turn. But believe me, you might be thinking I don't have ear in my head. But honestly, as they were singing, I could feel my ear in my head standing up one by one, praising God and glorifying God. God is good. The God of this universe is here. He hears every language. Every language, God hears it. And that's what he has proved here this morning. And God will continue to strengthen you, praise and worship team, and the entire TBLF in Jesus' name. Let's put our hand together for the praise and worship team. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let us pray. Once again, our Father in heaven, we want to thank you and bless your holy name. For your word that we are about to hear right now, Father, everything we are going to be saying here shall come from you in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, God Almighty, all the utterances from me and for people that will be hearing shall be led with your Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. And the name of God shall be glorified in Jesus' name. So shall it be. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. First, I want you to know that whatever you are going through, wherever position you find yourself, always remember the theme for us this year. What is that theme? Obedience. It's very, very important. And like you hear from the promise of the week, God will never leave you. He will always show you the direction to follow. He will always tell you what to do. Only you have to pray for the signing here. Now, as we have heard Pastor Leslie talking here on the first Friday, he talks about walk with God. In that, Deuteronomy 5:33 say that we have to walk with God. I want to take you back to last year. The theme for last year is what? Relationship. If you don't have relationship with me, can you walk with me? No. I'm sure when God was leading us, that we have to establish relationship with God last year. No one knew that this year is going to be obedience and walking with God. No one. But God has his own way of organizing his own thing. So, like I said, today we'll be talking about walking in God's way. That is the blessing of obedience. Walking in God's way, the blessing of obedience. That scripture mentioned there on the screen, those are the ones that will be guiding us. The last year, as I said, was declared as a year of relationship. And this year is year of obedience. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded. Like I ask you, if you don't have relationship with me, it will be difficult for you to walk with me. If you don't have relationship with God, it will be difficult for you to walk with him. And when you walk with him, you obey him. What follow? Blessing. Blessing will follow. Brothers and sisters, this year, I've said it here once time that God has given us a divine roadmap, divine GPS for life. to follow this year. God give that roadmap for us to follow. Let's turn to that Deuteronomy 5:33. It says, "You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess." In this single verse, that is where God has given us that divine roadmap, which I also call GPS, or let me call it a formula for a blessed life. Next slide. No, come back. Come back. Yes, next. Yes. The formula for life that God has given us, number one is that you have to walk. And when you walk, you will live. And when you live, it will be well with you. And when it is well with you, there will be preservation. God will preserve you. And what follow? You will possess that your destination. So when we talk about walk, it's not just walk alone. You have to continuously walk. Continuously, that is continuous obedience. You can't stand still. You have a relationship with God and you want to obey Him, you stand still. No, continuous walking is there. Then we have all His way. All His way. All this I'm taking from that Deuteronomy 5, chapter, verse 33. This means all His ways mean complete obedience. And what follow? That you may live. When you see those people advertising the, we call it Bonvita in Nigeria, vitality. Vitality. They lay more emphasis on that. So that when you drink it, they believe you will have that strength. The same way that you may live. When you walk with God, you will have what I put down here as spiritual vitality. Will always be with you. Then that will make you to live. Then it shall be well with you. Divine well-being. That's what God is going to give you when you walk with Him. Then prolong your days. That is preservation. As I've said earlier on. Then, lastly, in that verse, in the land you possess. That is destiny fulfillment. And you see, Deuteronomy 28 strengthens this. It gives condition. If you diligently obey, the Lord will set you above all nations. So you need to obey God. Obedience is not God. It's not God is trying to restrict you. No. God is only trying to protect you, to guide you, and bless you. Now, let's take it one by one, this formula that I've just listed before. God's formula for blessed life. Walking continuously. You shall walk. The first one I said is that walk. And that scripture says, you shall walk. This is life of continuous obedience. The Christian life itself is a walk, not a sprint. Walking implies, means what? Before then, today something is happening in Oman. Who is aware? In Muscat, generally. Marathon, yes. If you are not aware, you are aware now. We have brethren here that have participated this morning. They walk, they run the race with others. So when we say walking, the Christian life itself is a walk. You can't remain in one place. You have to continuously walk. And it's not a sprint. It's not something you'll be running faster. Diligently, you have to continue walking. So when we say walking, what does it mean? It means consistency. Consistency. You have to walk consistently. That is, taking spiritual daily step. And not occasional spirituality that, okay, today you are a Christian, tomorrow you are something else. It must be a continuous thing. Another thing is relationship. This means you have to establish your relationship with God. And when you establish your relationship with Him, you have to go with Him. Not ahead of Him or not behind Him. You have to walk side by side with Him because you already have relationship. God will put hand in your shoulder. You also, you will feel that, you know what we call like full grand walk. When you walk in this manner, majestically, at full grand. When God is with you, you will have that confidence that you will walk by His side. Subject to what? Obedience. You have to obey Him. You have to obey His instruction. Then, in walking, there must be movement. There must be what? Movement. You cannot obey God and stay stagnant. You have to move so that you can grow in His word. So that spiritually, physically, you continue to grow. And the next one is direction. You must follow God's path, not our emotional path. Again, I go back to that promise for this week. Walking with God requires direction. And that is what that promise is reminding us. Obedience is not driven by emotions. You don't allow your emotion to drive you, or your opinion, or your convenience, but by the clear guidance of God. That is how you have to walk with God. So when we choose to walk in His way, when you choose to walk in His way, God will never leave you. And you will never get confused. That scripture says you will hear the voice behind you. This is the way. Follow it. Whether you turn to the right or you turn to the left. Many of us, we have that experience here. When ROP sit by your side, yes, sir. Yes. Yemi, I've forgotten that language. Yes, sir. Yemi. See that. Go right, go left, go straight. Roundabout. ROP was giving direction. You obey. When God directs you, who are you not to obey? And when you obey, there is something that follows it. In ROP case, when you obey His instruction, go this right, go this left, go straight, at the end of the day, you have that great certificate of driving that permits you to drive here. So, brethren, when we choose to walk in His way, God will never leave you confused. Why did I brought the issue of what I refer to? At times, during my own test, I don't know, I told one of the policemen, I said, you are confusing me. He said, go right, and you do to the left. He's confused. He was just smiling. So, God will never confuse you. He will show you exactly the direction that He wants you to follow. His word is assuring us, you shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right, or whenever you turn to the left, God's direction is very clear. That means that as long as we remain willingly to obey Him, God will faithfully direct our steps. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Whenever we want to drift away, God will guide us back. He will bring us back to the track. So obedience keeps us aligned with God's path. That's what obedience does. Not our emotion, and it ensures that our walking remains purposely for God and it remains secured. You will never go astray because you listen to the instruction of God. God guides, move people. When God guides you, it moves you, it directs you to the path. Let me give you an example. When the children of Israel left Egypt, God walked with them. Something moved ahead of them, the cloud showing them when they are to move, the direction to follow. So when Abraham walked with God, God directed his path. Many Christians today feel struck because they want direction while they were still standing. You want God to do something for you? You want something that you are praying to? God, you should do this. If you don't take step, that will be tough to realize. So, brethren, make sure that you obey all the instructions that God is giving to you. So, as you choose to walk, choosing to walk means then you have to choose his word over feeling. At times, or many times, feelings are real. They are real, but they are unstable. It's changeable. Your feeling, you can feel that, okay, let me go to church, let me go to this. Along the line, you have taken your key, you are about to come. Then you feel again that, oh, I'm too tired. You see, in that short time, your feeling has changed. Today, you may feel motivated. Tomorrow, you may be discouraged. As a believer, living by feeling alone means your obedience will be inconsistent. It will be inconsistent. So, you have to move with God and choose the word over feeling. Choosing the word over feeling means obeying God even when you don't feel like it. For instance, we are calling for prayer. You are feeling that, oh, I'm too tired. But that spirit keeps telling you, go, go. That day may be your day. Trusting what God has said, even when the circumstances suggest otherwise. Trusting him, the moment that mind keep telling you, you must go to that intercessory meeting. You must go to that prayer meeting. You must go to that vigil night. Believe me, vigil night, you might say, okay, I will not go. I will go next week. You may not even sleep until that one or the 12:30 when it will be over. Then you'll be thinking, why did I not go to the prayer? Brethren, trusting God when he gives you direction is very, very vital in the work, in the process of working with God. So let scriptures shape your relationship, attitude, and action as well. Let me give you another example. You may feel like holding a grudge, but the word says forgive. Obedience means forgiving despite how you feel. You may not like what I'm telling you. You may not like what somebody is telling you. But the word keeps telling you forgive, forgive, forgive. So, brethren, as you walk means you have to choose holiness over convenience. Holiness often demands sacrifice. It may not be comfortable. It may not be convenient. But you have to sacrifice. Convenience seeks easiest option. When you go in this line, you will not keep to that obedience that God has calling you to do. So choosing holiness over convenience involves saying no to sinful shortcuts. Walking away from environment that dishonor God. Not where your church member is coming, you begin to hide. No. You have to dissociate yourself from such environment. Refusing compromises that make life easier but weaken spiritual integrity. You need to refuse all those compromises that will weaken your spiritual integrity. So as you walk, it means choosing God, even when the world mock it. When you are walking with God, at times people will see you, he's going to church again. Oh, they tag you with name. They will mock you. You know your focus, you know your target. Standing firm in your faith, even when they laugh at you. Refusing to water down biblical truth wherever you find yourself. Because you want to gain acceptance, you begin to turn the message of the scripture in the other way around. And you need to value God's approval more than human applause. What God will do for you, how God will reward you, value it more than what others are telling you. Hallelujah. So let's move to another God's formula for a blessed life. Remember, you have to walk with him. And the next one is in all his way. Our slide. All his way. Walking in all his way. The call to full obedience. The screen are off here. Technical team. The second one is in all the way. Walk in all my ways. This is called to full obedience. That is the call for full what? Obedience. Selective obedience is disobedience. Next slide. Selective obedience is disobedience. Many obey God in giving but not in forgiveness. You give but you don't forgive. In prayer but not in holiness. In worship but not in lifestyle. Many obey God in church attendance, but not in character. People cannot boldly say that you are a true Christian. When you say you are a Christian, it is questionable. That is because you have selective obedience. That God say, walk in all my ways. That is, every command of God carried purpose. Next slide. Every command of God carry purpose. His commands are not chained. They are wings. It's not limiting you. That command is not limiting you. It's protecting you. God's commands are not meant to imprison you or frustrate you. It's not meant to take your joy away from you. I know we have doctors here. When they prescribe medicine for you, it will only work when you take full medication. If you are asked to take 2 tablets of paracetamol, and you just feel on your own, with your feeling, you take half, will it work? It won't work. So full obedience means you have to obey fully. Obedience works when obey completely, not halfway. God protects through his instruction. When God gives you instruction, it protects you. Brethren, why do we have to obey God? Next slide. Why obey? Why do we have to obey? Because God's authority and love are behind the command. When he gives that command, he has that authority. These commandments are given by the Lord your God. We obey. Why do you obey? Next slide. Why do you obey? Why we obey? Because God knows the future. He sees what you have not seen. He sees beyond the wall. When we were in primary school, we used to say, think twice, forgotten how they're saying it now. Before you leap over the fence, you have to think twice. So, God knows the future. He sees danger we cannot see. He sees danger that we cannot see. That is why he's giving you instruction. That's why he's commanding you. At times you are gathering money to buy a car. You are saving for that 20% because here in Oman you have privilege of paying 20% and the bank may help you to pay the rest. All of a sudden, something happens, you spend this money on something else. And you begin to query God and pray, why is this thing happening? Am I the only one? God knows that if you buy that car, you may have an accident, you may get disabled, or something may happen to you. So, God sees the danger ahead of us. He protects through instruction. He blesses through obedience. He blesses through obedience. When a parent is telling his or her child that don't touch an egg of fire. I don't know if you have seen it when they, anyway, these days we don't have candles or the type of things that we have in those days. When candle is burning, you put it on a small child, he will want to touch it. Even when you are trying to stop that child, no, he may not listen. But the moment he touches it, he or she will run away from it. Next time, bring ordinary candle. No fire. She will move away from it. So God knows that, yes, he needs to protect you. He needs to preserve you. So when parent is giving instruction to their children, don't do this, don't do that. At times, children thought they know all. A popular saying in Africa say, what an elderly man will see when he sit down. A child that climb on 10-story building will never see it. The same way, what God is seeing from his throne in heaven about you, you may not take note. The presence of God will never leave us in Jesus' name. So why must we obey? That you may live. That you may live. Obedience produces life. When you obey, this day the doctor will be telling us, don't eat this, don't eat that. Junk food, and I'm not, for you that are selling junk food, I'm not trying to run it down. Just give me analysis. Don't eat this, don't eat that. If you neglect it, it will come after you later. The same way that you may live, that's why God is giving you those instructions. Obedience produces life. Obedience brings spiritual vitality. I've mentioned it. Life. It brings life. Next slide. Bring life. Freshness. Sensitivity. It brings power to you. Obedience brings emotional life. When you obey, you have peace. You have stability in your life. When you obey, it brings purposeful life. Living in God's plan makes you to live a purposeful and fulfilled life. Many Christians feel spiritually dry, not because God is far, but because obedience is missing. You are looking for the, maybe you are praying, or you have something that you need to quickly relate your scripture to, you cannot remember. Brother Cloudy, during my one of our leaders here before, when I was attending discipleship training, Mind of Christ, he told us that write one scripture in your pocket every day and begin to read it. It works. So when you obey, those words will be coming to you. You will never get dry in Jesus' name. Where obedience go, what follow? Life. Life follows. So why must we obey? What is the reason that we have to obey? Next slide. That it may be well with you. When you obey, it shall be well with you. That is divine well-being. Years back, the women ministry, they engaged in some kind of well-being, spiritual well-being, emotional well-being, and some other physical well-being. When you obey, that it may be well with you. All this is still coming from that scripture. So what am I saying here is that obedience attracts well-being. Well with you means what? Next slide. God peace. God peace. It means God peace. It means God provision. He will provide for you. You will never lack anything. It means God protection. He will continue to protect you. It means God's favor. He will favor you in all your ways. You are going for any interview, you are going for anything. He's going ahead of you. He's leading you. He's walking side by side with you. I was praying for one of our brothers, and I said, as you leave this Oman, you are going to that place, that God will take over that land for you. And the amen resounding heavily. And I know that he has grabbed into it. So God will go ahead of you and take over for you. And you will receive that favor in the mighty name of Jesus. So, well with you means God will help you. God's help. That's what it means. Well with you means stability in your home. You just be thinking, how is it happening? Are you the only one? Even people that don't like you, they will be forceful to rejoice with you. All because you sacrifice and obey God. So, brethren, obedience removes unnecessary battles. There are some battles you cannot see. There are some battles you can see. Obedience will make your boss to be in alignment with you. A believer walk right, live without any hidden fear. You will have that confidence to even remind your boss, boss, this is this, that is that. And he will be in alignment with you. Why must we obey? Next slide. When you obey, what happens? Prolong your days. Prolong your what? Your days. When you obey, God will preserve you. That is the promise that he has given to us. And what does that mean? It preserve. God preserve you. And what is it? Next slide. When he preserve you, there will be longevity and safety. There will be preservation. You see, everything keep coming in every of the point. All these points are still from that single Deuteronomy 5:33. Protection will be there. Continuity. Generational blessing will always be there because you have obeyed. Not even your present generation. From generation to generation, God will continue to bless you. Amen. But when it is disobedient, what happens? It shall cycle this for the electrical engineers there. They know what I'm talking about. Short cycle. It cut it off. It might still be coming, but the voltage might be low. Or let me use the water pipe. If your pipe is leaking, the pressure will not be there. You are still receiving water. The same thing. When you are disobeying, God may not completely close the door. It will be coming. But maybe it should be coming in multiple fold, in hundredfold, and you are receiving only 20. And you'll be giving testimony. God has done it. Yes, God has done it. Whereas, if you go more than that, you'll be surprised. So, disobedience shall cycle destiny. But obedience sustains destiny. Brethren, why must we obey? And when you do this, what happens? Next slide. You are going to enter into that land. And what is that land? Your destiny. What God has called you to do. In the land you shall possess. This means obedience leads to destiny. When you obey, you will reach that promise. God brought you to a man for a purpose. Maybe you have not even reached that purpose. When you obey him, he will take you there. The children of Israel, actually they're supposed to spend maybe 40 days. They end up spending 40 years. Your case shall never be so in Jesus' name. You are here in Oman for a purpose. You are here in Oman to get it to a particular destination that God will fulfill it in your life in Jesus' name. Terms and conditions applies. Obey. Obedience. Entering your land, that is your destiny. You have a land. I have a land. Maybe part of my land is standing before you today, giving the opportunity to minister to you. The praise and worship team, part of their land is the calling to sing. Is the calling. Everyone has land, a calling, a destiny, a purpose, a promise, a future God designed. Israel reached Canaan through obedience. Obedience is the bridge that bridge between prophecy and fulfillment. If a prophet has prophesied that, yes, you are going to Arab world to achieve this, to achieve that. Yes, you find yourself here. But that has not come to pass. Examine yourself. See where your pipe is leaking. Try to amend it. So why prophecy gives you direction? Obedience brings it to manifestation. So, brethren, at this point, I like to go to biblical example of obedience and disobedience. Next slide. Let's start from Saul. He failed woefully. Why? Because of partial obedience. He failed the test. If you read 1 Samuel chapter 15, you will understand the story. God said, destroy the Amalekites. But Saul partially obeyed. He spared the king and the animals. This is partial obedience. It cost him his throne. He gave an excuse. And what is that excuse? That he gave excuse with sacrifice. That is not the instruction. And Samuel replied to him saying, to obey is better than sacrifice. That's on the part of Saul. The next example is Abraham. He passed because he fully obeyed. God told him to sacrifice Isaac. Abraham obeyed fully. With faith. Currently we are having the book of Romans. Sure, if you are part of the home cell, you will know what I'm talking about. Abraham obeyed. God provided a ram and blessed him beyond measure. So, what am I saying? God will bless you beyond measure in Jesus' name. Times and conditions applies. Full obedience. Obey him. Obey the instruction that is given to you. You will hear the voice behind you. This is the way. Follow it. Brethren, don't expect that somebody will be whispering to you. There's a way God speaks to us. It might be through dream, or through somebody, or through the happening around you. When you have that discerning spirit, you will know that, yes, God is talking to me. Amen? So, what is the lesson for us today? Are we passing or failing the obedience test? Are we passing that? Hold on, sister. Don't go into that first. God called us to obedience. In church faithfulness, God is calling you. In his service, God is calling you. In our lifestyle, God is calling us. In holiness, God is calling us. And in giving, God also is calling us. And last year, he asked us to establish relationship. In relationship, God is calling you and me. Establish that relationship. God is calling you in decision. Obedience reveals the true condition of the heart. When you obey, even within your heart, you'll be very, very happy. You'll be smiling. But there are obstacles. Yes, sister. Obstacle to obedience. And what is the first one? First one, go ahead. Fear. The question is, what is if it doesn't work? You are losing your faith. Something is telling you, do this, take this bold step. But you are afraid that what of if it doesn't work? But faith say God is waiting on the other side of obedience. Obey first and see what God is going to do in your life. Fear. We are afraid that what of is not working. People will mock me. You are afraid of what people is going to say around you. You are afraid of what your colleagues will be saying. Of recent, my company has some kind of yearly activities, and at a point they declare some things that, okay, if you belong to this group, go to the back. The back is reserved for that purpose. And somebody came to tap me at the back. Oh, let's go. I said, to where? He said, to so. I said, do I look like somebody who do that? Then somebody asked him, you don't know that even chairman know that he's a pastor. I'm not trying to say that I'm holy. In the past, it has happened, finding myself in that group. But I was not afraid because the person that was telling me is a senior colleague in the office. But I still make my fat clear to him. Not how he feel, but how my God will feel. Don't be afraid of what people around you are going to say. whether you are afraid or you don't afraid, they will still mock you. Even when you do whatever you want them to do. There's an adage in Africa that says that if you use rias to make clothes, to show that you are very rich, you stitch together rias. The highest rias is 50 rias, right? You stitch 50 rias as a jacket. People will still mock you. Who is he? So no matter what you do, people will mock you. Don't look at their own side. Focus on what God wants you to do. So, pride is another thing. I know the best. I am the best. You cannot be corrected. You don't listen to others. When suggestion comes, all this will not allow you to have that full obedience. When you look at Adam and Eve, that pride is the root of their disobedience. What is another obstacle? Comfort. Many of us, God is ministering to us. I want you to go for mission field. Mission field. Missionaries are not rich. Especially, one of our mission we are supporting here, Sister Atim, she works in a very volatile area. I used to think how she's managing. God has given her extra patience and extra spirit to live in those uncomfortable areas. Because we are running away from uncomfortable environment, we are not obeying what God asks us to do. Obedience is often uncomfortable. And growth does not live in the same room with comfort. If you want to grow, you have to step out of your comfort zone. So the English people say. I don't know the meaning, but they always say, step out of your comfort zone. If you don't step out of your father's house, you will never get married. I'm not saying moving physically out. The scripture says the man shall leave, the woman shall leave. That means they are taking you out of your comfort zone. If you don't obey that, you will remain single. So brethren, step out of your comfort zone. Don't allow that to be an obstacle to you. So how to walk in obedience daily? Next slide. Four ways. Four ways to do that. Number one, next slide. Stay close to God's voice. Prayer, his word, worship him. Stay close to that. That is number one. Number two, obey immediately. Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. Obey immediately. Delay obedience is disobedient. That's what it means. Obey in small things. That is faithfulness in small things. Obey in small things. Faithfulness. You have to be faithful in the small thing that God has asked you to do. Don't look at maybe you are being called to come and be associate leader. And you see yourself thinking, why me to be an associate leader? That is pride. God promotes the faithfulness. Depends on the Holy Spirit. Depends on the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Let the Holy Spirit empower you. It is the Holy Spirit that will empower you to have that full obedience. Because when you want to derail, when you want to move out of the way, that voice of the Holy Spirit will come and say, this is the way. Follow it. Move to the left, move to the right. It will direct you and guide you. It will never mislead you in Jesus' name. Let's look at the great example of obedience. Jesus is the greatest example. He obeyed to the last. His obedience brought salvation for you and me today. Because of this, what happened? Obedience unto death. His obedience brought salvation. And what happened? Next slide. Oh, okay. Okay, leave it that way. Stay there. So, because of this, we are safe. The curse is broken. And sin is defeated. Eternal life is available for me and you. Jesus obeyed when it cost everything. We can obey when it costs comfort. for us. We can obey if it is comfort. We have to go out of our comfort zone. Let it be the cost. But the end we justify. Moving towards the conclusion now. Again, we go back to that verse, Deuteronomy 5, 33, give the equation mathematically. Let's see, sister. From that verse 33. Next slide. That is, the equation is, the equation is work. The equation is work, live, and be well, and be preserved, and possess your destination. That is the equation. You can see? That is the equation for you. All those words you are seeing there are all from that verse 33 of Deuteronomy 5. So, obedience is the key to a blessed life. Again, coming back to promise for the week. This promise is assuring us, we the believer, that when we listen and remain teachable, God will fully guide our step. He will direct our step, no matter the confusion or temptation to stray. His voice shall continuously provide clear direction to us, gently steering us back, just the way you hold your steering, back on the right path. It is a promise of divine guidance and correction and continual companionship for those who trust Him. You need to trust God. You need to trust Him. So the call to action, ask yourself now, what has God told me to do that I've delayed? Maybe since we enter into this year, is there anything God has already ministered to you and that you are delaying? Where am I choosing comfort over obedience? You need to examine yourself on this. What area of my life need surrender? Those areas that you have to release to God, what area? Begin to ask yourself. Ask yourself whether you are on top of the hill right now or you are in the valley. Choir. Whether you are in the top of the hill or you are in the valley, ask yourself, what is that condition that you are finding yourself? As we come close to this message on walking in obedience, brethren, we are being reminded of a powerful truth. The God who commands us to walk in His way is the same God who walks with us in every season of life. I don't know what season you are now. I don't know the challenges you are facing. I don't know whether you are on top of the mountain or you are in the valley. When you walk with God, when you obey Him, when you establish a relationship with Him, the God who commands us to walk in His way is the same God who walks with us in every season of life. That's Deuteronomy 5, 33. It tells us that obedience leads us to life, well-being, preservation, and destiny. But obedience does not mean life will always be easy. That is why I'm saying, ask yourself, are you on the top of mountain or you are in the valley? This is why the song God on the Mountain speaks so deeply to our hearts. When we obey God and walk in His way, He is God on the mountain. When blessing is flowing, He is the God. He is the God in the valley. When your obedience is tested, I don't know what you are passing through, that this message I've been saying, that thing keep coming to your mind. Finish what you are doing. Just get out of that place. The situation I'm going through, the position that I have, this is the what I'm suffering. God is God. He is God in the sunshine when things are clear. And He is God in the shadow when the path feels hard. Either right now you are on the mountain or you are in the valley. The God of the mountain is the God of the valley. Walk in his obedience because the message is clear. If God is God in good time, he's also the God in the hard times. You might be passing through hard times now. It is the same God. If he's worthy of obedience when it is easy, it is worthy when it is painful. So, as the song is ministering to us, let it be a renewed declaration of trust. Let it be a fresh surrender to obedience. Let it remind you that your obedience is never in vain. The same God who called you to walk in his way is the same God who will sustain you, preserve you, and lead you into your promised land. You will get to that destiny. Thank you. As a choir minister to us, hold on to the wordings of those songs, and may God bless his word.
Let's together for Jesus. That was the bread from heaven, the word from the throne of grace. I'll just share some key take homes for me, and then we will pray. When you walk with God, the blessings that follow, you live, you will be well, you will be preserved, you will possess your destiny. And that's God's formula for us. It shall answer for us. Another key take home, God's instructions are not restrictions, but an act of protection and preservation. So when God is instructing us to obey, he is not trying to restrict us and relegate us to the backdrop, but rather it is ordained for our preservation and protection. Word from above. Give God thanks for the word that we have heard. Lord, we are grateful to you for sending us your word. Your word has come with power, and we are grateful to you. For thy word is unto us a light and a lamp. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. One prayer or two. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. We must first be willing before we can begin to walk in obedience. We are going to pray, Lord, endue me with the spirit of obedience to be continuously willing to obey you. Pray this prayer. Please, Lord, endue me with that willingness to be obedient, irrespective of the circumstance, irrespective of the situation. We heard the word directly from God through the mouth of the man of God. No matter what the situation, may I be willing to obey you. May I be willing to follow your instructions. Because we know that your instructions are not restrictions. Your instructions are the roadmap to our highways, to our destiny. We give you praise. Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Before we round up today, we are going to pray for our pastor who is in India, and he shall be going for his checkup today, follow-up checkup in India. So we are going to be praying that God will perfect what he has started in his life, in his health, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now open your mouth, pray for our senior pastor Abraham. God is faithful. God is working wonders in our midst. The Lord God of heaven and earth, as our pastor is going for that checkup, he is returning with testimony. There shall be no evil report. He that has begun a good work, preserving him, keeping him strong, even our God will perfect all that concerns him. He is returning back with testimonies in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise, my Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Ancient of Days, we are grateful to you. Thank you for sending us your word from your throne of grace. We are grateful to you because we understand that your instructions to us are the road map to the manifestations of our destiny. And your instructions are not restrictions. Therefore, we pray that our mind will open up to understand that every word of instruction is ordained for our lifting in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your servant you have used. We pray, Lord, that you will fill him back to overflowing. That when next he shall be standing here to release the word, deeper revelations like never before, in the name of Jesus Christ. As we leave this place, we are not leaving your presence. Let your presence continue to be with us. And as we continue to obey you, may we continue to walk in all of your plans and purpose for us in the mighty name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over our lives, and we thank you, Father, for answers to all of our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. And lift up our hands and share the grace together. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever in Jesus' name. Amen. Put those blessed hands together for Jesus again. Hallelujah.